The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Drew Dinsick standing by to join us, talk some tennis and some NBA, see if has any tennis plays still to come here today from Roland Garros. By the way, we did get a tweet on your pronunciation, Kelly. Bruce Dobigan, have to give Kelly a half point for his Cajun pronunciations of the courts at Roland Garros. Apparently, you pronounce them.
I had to throw a little of the Cajun / French flair into it. Okay, yeah. I knew it wasn't Suzanne.
No, it wasn't Suzanne. I do want to say about that the last question I had for Andy, right? Because I don't want to give the impression that I think of Canada as a monolith, right? Because obviously Canada, a vast nation with different cities and different fanhoods for all their teams. But I do think it's hilarious that we have some Americans, right,
mm-hmm.
who are just so into a Canadian team not winning the cup that to ask it in reverse, I thought was an interesting question, because I don't think they view it, generally speaking, the same way. And what Jake was saying was pretty much confirming that.
Yeah, I think that like that was about as stern of a tone that we could have gotten from Jake Hahn, because he's one of like the nicest dudes on the planet. I'd be like, no, we're not celebrating an Edmonton win here in Toronto. Like that ain't happening. But yeah, it's been interesting. We were talking about it off the air. It's been interesting. The whole there were like USA chants going on at the Stars game, but just because the Stars have like slightly less Canadian players on their roster than every other team in the NHL.
And the Stars have a lot of Finnish players.
Yeah.
We're chanting USA.
That's how we chant. God bless you, Texas. Like, that's how you take that. That's great.
Anyway, just thought that was interesting. Drew Dinsick joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the co-host of not one, but two podcasts, and he does a deep dive daily now. So it's the Deep Dive with Andy Molitor. It's NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. I just got off doing a deep dive daily with Andy. He joins us now at whale_capper, by the way, is where you can follow him on Twitter. How you doing, Drewski?
I'm wonderful. Hope you guys had a great Memorial Day weekend. And especially good morning to the Oklahoma City Thunder for holding on for dear life yesterday, man. If they had lost that game and we were 2-2 going back to Oklahoma City, I would be in a very, very different mood right now.
Yeah, you feeling a little looser like I am this morning, Drew? Yeah, I think it would have been a little tight everywhere today if they lost that game.
What are your longest futures numbers on the Thunder?
It's not about price, Gil.
It's about volume. About stick. It's about volume.
It's about the stick.
Yes.
I have about 60% of my actively managed bankroll on the Thunder to win the West.
Wow.
Whew.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
Mine's up there, too, but it is. I don't think it's that high.
As I said, only 13 times in the history of the NBA has a team come back from a 3-1 deficit, and only 5 times have they come back when they don't have home court advantage. So, again, history is on your side.
It would not be the biggest payout I've ever hit, Gil, but this is the most amount of money that I have wrapped up in a futures side ticket, whatever. That's multiple bets. So yeah. Thunder to win.
Yeah, you do have to clarify that. That's right. It's a different.
It's +120. It's +115. It's +110. It's multiple of those.
Iga French Open 2020 the most, or Ole Miss 2022 the most I've ever made. But the most outlay was like Floyd Mayweather beating Conor McGregor, where you're like, all of a sudden the fight's coming. You're like, what have I done? You know, that kind of thing.
Give us one of those again.
I mean, the timing worked out with the Super Bowl. Like, I had a killer Super Bowl with the Eagles, and you know, absolutely flush. Started sincerely looking at futures prices, and I was just like, man, there are 3 super teams in the NBA and only one of them's in the West. What is going on here? Why aren't these guys like -150? My price on them when I got into it, which was in the +120, +140 range, my fare at that time was like -180. And so I was feeling pretty confident. And game 7 was uncomfortable in that first quarter in particular against the Nuggets. And yesterday, as SGA fails to fight through a single screen and gives wide open corner three after wide open corner three to DiVincenzo and company, it's just like, really, guys? Really? Come on, fight. Get through that screen. But I mean, you know, you're watching the game and it's pretty clear, like, the Wolves, you know, having been to the Western Conference Finals last year, like, they're not going away lightly. They're not pushovers. They're not going to let go of the rope. They're going to continue to fight. And that's going to make this, you know, this final Final win difficult. I'm nowhere close to kind of the current market price on the Wolves, which the series price for the Thunder -6,000 is a little bit aggressive. My fare right now is -1766 for the Thunder, +1766 for the Wolves. So not, you know, no value for to bet the Wolves to come back from what I could tell you at in the 16-1 ish range. It's pretty clear that SGA is carrying a heck of a lot of the load offensively for this team, and it's the fatigue is wearing him down to the point where he's not able to fight through the screens and defend those corner threes. And that's honestly what sunk them last year against the Mavericks in that second round playoff series, where PJ Washington was just getting every shot he wanted in the corner and no one was able to get a body on him. And that's not now. That's happening now with the Wolves, but at least Degenau has kind of figured out that he needs to go small. I doubt we see much more of Isaiah Hartenstein in this series. And I think, you know, the youth and the bench in particular at home should be able to give us the scoring, you know, push we need to get this thing across the finish line in game five. My game five price is not 8.5. I'm at 7.5. So market a little more confident than I am that the Thunder are just going to end this thing. But this is until it's over, until that one's in the book, it's going to be a restless week.
Let me ask you this, and maybe you've already answered it by your previous your previous dissertation there, but I'm not sure you have entirely, which is if Oklahoma City won the next five games, so close out Minnesota, then sweep the Eastern Conference opponent, it would not be the most surprising thing in the world. But what's the scenario, short of injuries, what's the scenario, maybe it's SGA leaving a guy open in a corner, but what else is the scenario where they don't get it done? Like, what happens to torpedo this for you?
A first quarter injury for Chet Holmgren in game five.
We're not allowed to use injuries.
And that's really, yeah. I mean, I honestly, if something happens to Holmgren, that's probably it.
So short of injury, nothing.
I don't see I don't see Finch. Number one, I haven't really seen much that Finch really has the right read on, you know, and I don't know that he has the right pieces to really kind of make broad adjustments to what the Wolves are doing. And I don't think the Wolves defense is stopping a small ball Thunder lineup right now with anchored with Holmgren, particularly the way Holmgren's been playing.
But I'm even saying projecting into even into the finals though, Drew, what happens to the Thunder short of injury that doesn't allow them to win the championship as you
I
see?
I honestly think that the finals will be easier for them than this Western Conference, than the second round, I think, is going to ultimately stand as sort of that was their finals. It's just because the extra rest that you get in between days should help SGA stay fresh. Because he looks like he's tired to me, at least particularly in these fourth quarters, he looks tired and he's still able to get it done offensively. I definitely get annoyed hearing people kind of, you know, use these opportunities to, you know, throw shade or call him a foul merch or anything like that. Like, he was the rightful MVP this year, guys. Like, take a deep breath. Like, this guy is a huge part of this era of NBA. He will be for years to come. And he now anchors the team that you will have to go through to win a championship. So, get used to it. And I think ultimately, with a couple of days between finals games, he's probably the heavy favorite, in my opinion, for finals MVP if they get there.
I'll answer that question for you, Gil. This is the Thunder don't get it done if Shea doesn't get any offensive help in the finals. Okay. If what we saw last night in J-Dub and Chet and some of those guys kind of disappear and it all falls on Shea, there's a sliver of hope, I think, for one of those Eastern Conference teams.
Drew, did you want to rail on this Nate Duncan suggestion about NBA teams up three should not be allowed to foul? Did you see any of this last night?
No, but Nate Duncan doesn't get any kind of scorn from me at all. He is one of the best voices in basketball, and I'm surprised that he doesn't have a larger platform. Like, why are we listening to what Stephen A. Smith and Kendrick Perkins have to say? Like, listen to what Nate Duncan has to say. Like, that guy absolutely rocks.
How about the 45 second screaming halftime show they had yesterday? That was awesome. I know.
I can't watch it.
Kelly said the same thing about Nate Duncan, but none of us are 100% on takes, right?
And so I am.
I don't agree
with that. Right. I don't think you should punish his suggestion. By the way, we'll throw up the tweet again. His suggestion was, again, because it's aesthetically unpleasing, like the end of last night's game supposedly was to him, that the team's up three, which is great strategy. I believe we've been talking about in this show forever that they should not be allowed to do that because it turns the game from a beautiful thing into a foul fest. And my position is you can't make artificial competition. You can't penalize the team that's ahead and say, okay, now you can't foul. And then some people were suggesting an Elam ending now to the NBA. I just find this one particular take from him to be a little off, a little in the moment.
Yeah, and it is, and I think it kind of what's lost to me is the Thunder had to make their free throws, right?
Like, yes.
Those were some intense free throws. Yeah. You're in a hostile environment. If you're not making those, then you're reliving what the Knicks went through in game one, right? Like it's two to tango for the most part. And if they're not making their free throws there, then all of a sudden that thing, shifts on a dime. Those were sweaty palms watching that. That was intense. It was intense for anyone involved. I don't think that you can take away the intensity factor by saying that there should be a moment where they must get an opportunity to make a game tying three. Like, I get it. You want a little more drama. There hasn't been a lot of drama in the Western Conference Finals to this point because the end of that game was finally delivered.
And Shea missed the free throw. That caused a lot of the drama to begin with.
He did.
Yeah. Drew's take on the Knicks Pacers tonight and some tennis on the other side. Numbers game. Peace.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to know where the money is really going? Unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, Kelly Midland alongside everybody.
Yo!
Hey.
What's up?
We never say our Twitter handles. I'm beating the book. When was the last time I said Twitter
handle? We really should say that more. We really should.
I'm at beating the book. You're at Kelly Bidlon.
That's right. Yes.
And if you don't see our show live, there are plenty of opportunities. Most listeners, I don't know if most listeners are kicking in live or on delay or after the fact or whatever, but the VSiN Watch app, of course, every show at the network has its own podcast. We have the Numbers Game podcast as well. So multiple ways to take in the show.
Speaking of Twitter, even Drew's back on Twitter these days.
Drew Densick back on Twitter.
Sort of, I think.
Sort of. Back, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Drewski, why'd you go off Twitter? Why'd you come back?
I mean, it's not really for me anymore. You know?
What do you mean?
The discourse isn't really.
Oh, yeah.
The discourse really wasn't adding to my enjoyment of life. So, you know.
Plus, you got to be on a trip somewhere. So I hear you. Like, what's the point of staying hanging around and being on Twitter? I get it. Okay. I want to ask you a couple other things. One, first of all, let's go to tennis before we go back to basketball. Anything left that has not started at Roland Garros today for you, sir?
Let me look. I staked Coboli against Chilich. That number made no sense to me. I had Coboli like closer to -400 and he's -250. And I have 3-0 at plus money, which still kind of boggles my mind. And I have -1.5 sets at -123 for the Italian to take out the Croatian vet who managed to make it into the main draw somehow.
Flavio Coboli, the match starts in roughly 13 minutes. Get your bets in now. I don't know if I got the name right, but I found it.
Kelly, I have a question for you. Did Marin Cilic ever win a Grand Slam? Yes or no?
Yes. Because you asked that
good
question.
Job.
Don't ask me which one. I'm going to go with Wimbledon.
No, he won the U.S. Open in 2014. Which is noteworthy because, again, he's one of these few guys that won a major in the Nadal-Federer Djokovic era.
Like a Stan Wawrinka?
Correct, but he won three of them.
Boo!
Kelly, you can go.
That was weird. I'm going.
You
I'm go. Out.
That's not. You've done your work. Anything else today, Drew?
He was pretty close with Cilic winning Wimbledon, too.
Yeah.
He made it to a Wimbledon final against Roger Federer, and I believe blisters on his feet ultimately went home crying that day. But it was he put up a good effort.
Yeah.
Almost beat Federer famously at the Australian Open as well. He made a final there. They went five sets. You remember that one?
Oh, he had a, he had a period.
Cilic has had some big moments.
You're telling me this dude's played at three Grand Slam finals?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's but this does least. Not compare to Corey Pavin showing up on a golf leaderboard.
Like
this
you're
week,
not exactly the same.
Which
thing,
is still the most incredible thing that's happened this this month.
Yeah,
but it is
my
golf.
Favorite. Real quick, my favorite Cilic memory, however, was not him winning, but he was 20-1 going into the U.S. Open in I don't know, we'll say 2018 maybe, and Andy Murray was the 2 seed that year and scratched. And that moved everybody around because the draw had already been done, and it put Marin Cilic into the two seed hole. And I have him at 21 in pocket. And I was literally like, "Oh my god, what a windfall! Like this is so great! Like he now has a clean path to the finals of the U.S. Open. He's won this tournament before. Everybody else is hurt. I was like, he's going to go the distance." Diego Sebastian Schwartzman defeated him in straight sets, I believe, in like
great.
The opening round. And I was literally like, wow, well, never mind. But yeah, he did have an amazing 2018 Australian Open final where he was defeated by Roger Federer in five. And then 2017 Wimbledon, Roger Federer got him in straights. But that was because of the blisters, I think.
Diego Schwartzman on the Leaflet Hall of Famer. Leaflet Hall of Famer, for sure. How about our boy Francisco Cerúndolo getting knocked out in the first round in straights?
I did.
Brutal.
I guess he had plans. there was so little fight. I was like, like he knows that he's losing this, right?
Yeah.
But
he knows that's right.
Yeah,
you are down two sets right now, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Diallo is like a fine young player. I don't rate him on clay at all.
I don't either.
I was very, very surprised he performed that well. He's, you know, a player I would bet on hard court, and I generally do kind of see value on him in bigger tournaments and early rounds on hards once we get into the North American swing. But that was a shocker.
I had him in a hard court match, and Zach was on the other side. Remember, Diallo had like match point on his rack, and he gacked it on hard courts. Okay. Yeah. Anything else?
Well,
besides?
You know what they say. You know what the famous Roland Garros says. He says victory belongs to the most tenacious.
That's right.
And
it's written right up
Francisco
there.
Francisco Cerúndolo was not the most tenacious on Sunday.
Drew with excellent knowledge of what is posted at Philippe Chatrier
I heard on the daily deep dive he had to do a history lesson on that. So I'm going to guess his tab's still pulled up with his notes.
anything else besides Coboli before we go back to basketball? Anything else today?
That's all I got today.
Okay.
There's not so far, nothing has really happened that's changed my opinion of anything so far. I guess Jack Draper losing would be a shocker. I didn't necessarily rate him to go deep into this tournament, but he's getting his lunch fed to him by Bellucci right now, which is a bit of a surprise.
Okay.
That might be an interesting, you know, see, I'm going to tune into that after we call it a show here and see if there's a live bet to be made on Jack Draper, because that's a shocker.
All right. Before we call it a show, though, sir, let's go to tonight's game between the Pacers and the Knicks. Pacers now only favored by, I'm looking at a 1.5 offshore. 2 is the consensus still on this. This is ticking down. Game 4 at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indiana. In Indianapolis, where the Pacers are trying to extend this to a 3-1 lead. Knicks trying to take it back even back to game 5 in Madison Square Garden. 221 is your total. Any play here?
I'm really struggling to find a way into this series at this point. My fare for this game is 2.2. So not dying to play Pacers at -2. There's a sliver of an edge there. My series price right now is Pacers -209. I have a 29% chance that the Pacers win this 4-2, a 26% chance they win it 4-1, and then a 14% chance they win it 4-3. So basically the Knicks, the math really only works into their advantage if they win this game and really knock out the percent chances of a Pacers 4-1. If the Knicks do win this game, then I think they would actually flip from +209 to series favorite for me, but it would be very, very, very small favorite. So I think the answer is pretty straightforward, which is if you like the Knicks, don't bet the game, bet the series. And yeah, I think I have some Pacers series from, you know, Pacers to win the series at plus 140, I believe, before game one. And considering the fact that all of the lessons that I can take from the first three games is that these two teams are very close, there's not a huge margin, and that home court doesn't matter as much as anyone thought it would. You know, maybe that means you just you take the prices when you can get them, and you enjoy the show, because it has been very, very entertaining, particularly these end of games. If you had told me before the series started that the Pacers would win a game where they were down 9 inside a minute, and that they would lose a game at home where they were up 20, I would have said, good one. That's not happening. And yet here we are. Three games in, and we've seen both of those things.
Understanding that you're super confident in the Thunder no matter who they play, who would you rather play as a guy who has Thunder tickets?
I don't care. I think I would rather play the Pacers because I like our optionality a little bit more. With the Knicks, you don't. I think you're kind of stuck with a single look against the Knicks, whereas with the Pacers you can beat them a couple of different ways. So I guess Indiana is my pick.
Okay, you'd agree with that?
That's what I said before when you asked me that question. I think that my only concern with that, though, is I trust Halliburton to not turn the ball over way more than I trust Brunson and that Knicks team. And if this Thunder defense just thrives on being able to turn those turnovers into points. So, I think it's close.
Yeah, Indiana, I contend, once again, got super tight in this last game. I know everybody was throwing praises on the Knicks defense. To some degree, that is true. But I really do believe the Pacers, like a tennis player that has trouble getting over the finish line, they looked like they were just passing up shots to me. And so that, to me, is the tiebreaker in that. I think you'd rather play the Pacers because of that.
Drew, real quick, anything to make of some of the lineup changes that the Knicks threw out last game? Anything you expect to see different tonight for people that might be focusing in on player props?
Well, I would expect they go with the same look of starting Robinson over Hart. But I honestly think that's more just to kind of have Hart with some fresh legs coming in. Because they, you know, they're asking him to do a lot of hustle, and I think that's maybe the goal. I didn't love it watching it, obviously, and it didn't really work out to their advantage. But maybe at the end, having fresher legs was huge for them. So
thank you, Drew. Appreciate it, Drew Dinsick. Everybody coming back, recapping
a numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily at the sharp plays. They also have AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to check them out. sharpplays.com. Skill Alexander, just want to read this because we touched on it with Drew, but Bobby Geddes chimes in. He says, Gil, you must not have seen First Take's new segment called The Crossover on ESPN, where football players ask basketball players questions and vice versa. What could you possibly want to listen to more than Kendrick Perkins asking Ryan Clark about the Cowboys? It's truly insightful television.
I don't really understand what, like, I feel like ESPN's doing, like, open tryouts right now for ex-players as analysts, because it's, like, new guys every day. I saw a little bit of that crossover segment. It's the Morris brothers, Marcus and Markeith, that have been on there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like I see someone new, like, every week on ESPN right now.
The halftime show that I was referring to.
Which is fine. Maybe they are doing open tryouts.
Maybe they are. Yeah. Ex-athletes.
Yeah.
Line up. That was a halftime show yesterday. It was 45 seconds of Stephen A. screaming, I don't care what you have to say. He's like, Ant should get more than two shots. So Kendrick Perkins trying to get in a word in edgewise, and Stephen A. just going after him. And so it was like 45 seconds, and Malika's like, we're out. That halftime show, even before a screaming fest like that, and I just feel so bad for the hosts, especially in this case, Malika, where it's like the entire narrative is always, unlike TNT, where they're always hilarity and they're saying some stuff that matters, by comparison. On ESPN, it's no matter what team is trailing at the half, you will always hear some variation of the phrase, they got to step it up. Like, and it's just like, okay, no, I get that. They do have to step it up. You know why? Because they're down on the scoreboard. Whereas the other team is really executing because they're ahead. Like, it's just the same. There is never any wavering from that construct every single time. Super annoying.
Yeah, it's tough. It is tough. The I think it's interesting what we saw in that game last night. I'm interested to see how what we see in game five. But, man, Thunder are gambling a little bit. That was the, hey, we're going to gamble and throw two at Ant a lot and leave open the corner. And as Drew brought up, that was a lot of what we saw in that Mavericks series last year as well. Let's crash the Luka pick and roll action, try to overwhelm that with numbers, but we're going to leave a corner three wide open. That's a dangerous thing to do in the NBA. And if you're Anthony Edwards, I don't know. All I'd be thinking about last night during that game, after the game, this morning when he's waking up, is like, man, Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Ante Vincenzo, DiVincenzo, it would be nice if you would have done this the rest of the playoffs. Maybe we'd have be in a little bit better spot right
There's
now.
A moment in that game I don't think anybody was missing anymore. Like, every shot was going in. Oh, it was
incredible shot making. And Nikhil Alexander-Walker actually is one of the frustrating ones for me, because I think he's shown a lot of promise at points in his career, but the consistency is just not there. You watched him last night. He looked like a superstar out there at times. You're like, this guy's pretty good. He should get the ball more.
I was on Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis were kind enough to have me on at the end of By the Books, the show that precedes us here on the network. This morning, I was on the last segment leading into this. I was in your chair.
That's right. You had to sit in my chair.
Yep. It's awkward. I made three college baseball bets to win it all.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I bet.
You're already fired. Okay.
I made three. Bet on Jensen's Vanderbilt Commodores, 9-1. Might be like plus 950, but somewhere in the
these
nine
are all just
range.
To win the College
to
World Series.
To win the College World Series. It has to do with analytics, has to do with where they are in the bracket. Vanderbilt at, I think it was plus 950. Don't hold me to that, but it's somewhere in the nines. As was Texas, which I bet as well. And then the flyer, the third bet, was on Northeastern at 125-1 here at Circa. Northeastern ranks very highly in terms of some of the, their ELO rating and some other things. And they're in a tough little bracket. I think Florida's in theirs, in their regional. So it's going to be tough. But nonetheless, those are the three teams. And by the way, the team I didn't bet on where I was like, I don't know, I kind of have some of the characteristics, is actually Ole Miss again. But I did not bet Ole Miss to win it all. So those are the three teams again. Texas, Vanderbilt, and the long shot Northeastern to win the College World Series.
Did I thought Jen is Florida or Florida State? I thought Jensen said they were in the Tallahassee regional. I'm trying to check right now. Sorry,
that's Florida State, right? Aren't they? No.
Yeah, I'm talking about for Northeastern though. Who's all in that one?
Jensen sent me all the regions yesterday via text, but the that's who I landed on in just in terms of now Jensen is much more immersed in this than I am. He is actually going to do the broadcast. I think he's going to Athens, Georgia, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, for the regional here. So he'll be available to have on the show. And then he's going to Omaha, of course, for the College World Series.
Itself. And we're going to have him on Thursday, right?
I hope to have him on. Let's have him on Thursday. Absolutely. Love the College World Series, man. It's a great time of year. Great time of year. Okay, and then there's this Aaron Judge Triple Crown prop that you found. Where was this?
Okay, Northeastern is in the Tallahassee Regional. So that is Florida State. I'm looking at DraftKings right now. Florida State minus 110 in that regional. Northeastern plus 250. Mississippi State plus 250. And then Bethune-Cookman 55-1. I almost transferred from to Northeastern from Florida State, by the way. In there.
Are you joking?
No, I'm dead serious.
Oh, really?
I almost went to journalism school at Northeastern.
Yeah, Northeastern. Oh, I'm glad you said that. Northeastern, for those of us who went to school in Boston. So there's 40-plus universities in Boston. Always a party. That's the nice part about going to school in Boston. Downside, cold as all get out.
Yeah.
But the upside is there's always a party going on. And when you're that age, that's an awesome thing. But Northeastern, where Reggie Lewis went to school, the late Reggie Lewis, they were known for their broadcast journalism.
I thought they had a really cool program too, because it was one of those they did trimesters still, not regular semesters, but part of it was they wanted you to spend one trimester working in the field somewhere, so actually working like a job, basically getting credit for. So it was a nice draw.
Yes, not as well known as Syracuse. You know how those guys are when they come out of Syracuse
or Northwestern.
They think they own the world in broadcast journalism. Sorry, Syracuse people, you're kind of like that. But Northeastern, big on that. That would have been, how different do you think you would have turned out?
I don't know. That's a long story. I can tell you more of that off air. But you know what? I don't regret anything, Gil. I don't regret anything because I think there's
nor should you
some of the things that you know out of Florida State went back and worked in Florida. I don't think that same thing would have happened. I don't think I would have ended up here probably at some point. You know, you never know, right?
Aaron,
the butterfly effect,
sliding doors. You ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the Aaron Judge prop. So this is Aaron Judge to win the Triple Crown.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really know this was up, and I found it at multiple places now. This is, I wanted to, I just wanted to throw it at you.
This just in, it's May 27th. Okay, just on site alone, this price has to be way higher than this. It's only plus 155, yes? Stop it.
I need to confirm that, hold on.
That can't be right. If it's plus 155, this is like a no bet without even like thinking twice.
It was up at Caesars had it up yesterday. It was down this morning, and then it was up over at FanDuel.
Well, we're showing the FanDuel price, I think, if we have that correct. It's yes, plus 155, no, minus 200. Now, remember, Triple Crown, 1967, Carl Yastrzemski won the Triple Crown in the American League, and until the 2010s, we did not have another Triple Crown winner, and then Miguel Cabrera finally did it for the Detroit Tigers, and we have not had one since. Currently, in the Triple Crown categories, and again, Triple Crown was just a manufactured thing that, you know, folks came up with, home runs, RBIs, and batting average.
Yeah. This is the price. This is the price.
That price is no.
I mean, isn't this a bet, though?
No. On the no. Yeah. For sure. It's like, a bet on the no.
Again, it is May 27th.
Yes.
No. Just to lay minus 200?
Yes. No minus
200. I'm pretty sure Caesars, this was a bigger price at. I'll have to check if they've
reposed. No minus 200 is absolutely a bet. Right now, Shohei Ohtani has 19 homers. Kyle Schwarber has 18. Aaron Judge also has 18. That's in home runs. When it comes to RBI, Seiya Suzuki, 49. Rafael Devers, 48. Pico Armstrong, 48. Aaron Judge, 47.
Okay.
And then when it comes to batting average, I believe he's in the lead, right, with batting average. Yes. 398 for Aaron Judge. Freddie Freeman, 361. Jacob Wilson of the Athletics, 350. So, again, you got to go, you know, to the end of the season with qualified at-bats. You don't have to go to the end of the season, but if you have enough qualified at-bats or plate appearances, you will then be involved in this. But the notion that he would remain, I mean, the one that is the most, to me, again, the most vulnerable is the batting average. I just don't think that Aaron Judge, despite how many times he gets walked, it's not a Barry Bonds level of walking. So despite that, I don't think that he, you know, maintains that lead. There are guys, there are slap hitters that will eventually overtake him in that, if not the other two.
Yeah, this is so I saw this up at Caesars yesterday when we were talking. You know, we were scrambling for Rocky's win total. This one caught my eye. I think the price was longer there, bigger on the no.
You can't bet this at plus 155 again. But, it's a historical anomaly for this to happen.
Yeah,
and I get it. He's flirted with it. You can't bet it at plus 155.
You know how we've talked about for several weeks the MVP with him versus the field. I think this is a better bet, even right. He could win MVP without winning the Triple Crown.
He could win MVP. Yes.
Like, I think I'm betting this.
You're betting the no.
I think I'm betting the no.
Yeah. I was going to say, let's say he does win the Triple Crown and you got this at plus 155. You going to be happy with that when you win it?
No, not at all.
No, you'd be like, that's the worst win I've ever had in my life. That's the other way
to
look at it.
And meanwhile, I can easily justify and be fine laying minus 200 on May 27th. And if it loses, it loses. It's fine. I bet I laid minus 200 on May 27th.
Anyway, it's our analysis on Aaron Judge.
Apparently, it's
will he win the Triple Crown?
Apparently, it's a rule, by the way, that if we mention Aaron Judge, I have to mention the date, or one of us has to mention the date.
Isn't this around the date that Will called for MVP last year?
Yeah.
We'll recap all the bets next.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Biggest tweet of the morning, Eric Biggio from William Hill Caesars, letting us know that June wins will be out this afternoon. So I got work to do.
Nice.
I got studying to do. Even though I prefer betting them at Circa with the tiebreaker rules, I will absolutely consider it if something jumps off the page. But I got schedule analysis to do. Though I will say this, schedules haven't mattered at all so far. Well, I shouldn't say that because I had the Phillies as one of my top five. So, yes, they did matter.
When did
I just picked the wrong team.
Are you gonna bug Circa again? Because we're not positive.
Oh, I'm gonna bug him right when I leave. Okay, I'll be like, hey.
I don't know that we're positive they would have gotten up when they got up if you didn't say something to them, right?
No, I think that no. When I went to them last month, it was in the works.
It was already
planned. It was the last 36 hours, so it was either in the works or it wasn't. But they were ready to go. They were aware that they had a window, which I did remind them of. But they were ready to go. Well, we get tweets at Beating the Book. 3JackH3131. Now that my timeshare situation has been handled. I love when people throw in stuff like that. I'm going to go place a bet on Ole Miss simply based off Gil not betting them. That's a good strategy.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say whatever timeshare situation, that whatever that means, Gil, it ain't good.
Yeah.
It ain't good.
That's not good. Donnie Miller. Maybe he was just joking. I don't know. Donnie Miller. Wouldn't Judge just need to lead just the American League? Yes. In average home runs and RBIs to win the Triple Crown? Yes, that's correct. So PCA, Schwarber, et cetera, aren't a threat. Yes, you're right. I was just reading the major league totals. You are correct. He would just have to win it in the American League. Still, yes, plus 155. Ridiculous. So, yeah. That is correct. Good clarification, though. Okay, these are the bets that we have made on the show today, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSIN. I am on, these two matches have not started yet. Marie Buskova, plus 138 versus Anna Kalinskaya, and Solana Sierra, plus 154 versus Yulia Putintseva. Hope folks won on a Richard Gasquet yesterday on the show. And then I made the three College World Series bet. Vandy, plus 950. Overall, number one overall seed, Vanderbilt, plus 950 to win the College World Series. Texas, plus 950 to win the College World Series. I am completely prepared for Texas to absolutely not get it done here. And then Northeastern, 125-1 to win the College World Series. Kelly might have gone there once upon a time.
And then almost.
And then I'm on the Pacers tonight. I got a terrible number. Pacers -2.5.
Yeah, we kind of did, right?
Yeah.
I played Moneyline -135. You can get a whole lot better number than that right now.
Better than me. Yeah, you can get a better number.
Like -123 or something like that I've seen.
Mark Borchard was here earlier, base winner. He's got the Yankees D-backs Moneyline Parlay. Wouldn't be a Borchard segment without a parlay. He's got it at plus 115 is the approximate payout of that. And then I insisted. I didn't really insist, but I kind of like coaxed him into a side bet. He's on the Twinkies. He's on the Twins today, minus 120. And remember, when you look at the May wins, despite the loss yesterday, the Twins still in this. Phillies have the one-game win advantage over the Twins, over the Cardinals, and over the Tigers. The difference is that the Phillies have one extra game still to play. They got five left. The Twins, Cardinals, and Tigers each have four left. So Twins is the play from Mark Borchard. And then Jay Conlon was kind enough to join us here to talk hockey. He's on the Panthers tomorrow night to close out the Hurricanes. And then tonight, Stars, Oilers, under 6.5. Betting against human achievement in that one. Under 6.5. You going to watch the hockey tonight?
Oh, yeah.
We'll be watching basketball.
I'll be watching both.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
I always have hockey on TV number two. The problem is I miss every goal. Like, I always see it out of the corner of my eye, like the celebration, and I'm like, oh, what'd I miss? I got to, like, rewind it, like, 10 seconds to catch the goal.
Okay. I was distracted by something. Somebody sending me a grid of something. I'm sorry. Really, I'm sorry.
I've never seen Gil so distracted.
I was like, what is this? What are you saying to me?
Like, it must be some big breaking news he's reading right now.
Michael Lafon. Christian Yelich had a monster season in 2018. 316. His batting average was 316. 36 homers, 110 RBI. It's rarely talked about. But on his last at-bat of the season, he came up with the bases loaded in Chicago. And if he homered, he would have won the Triple Crown. Oh, failed to homer. GBank, the official bank of VSIN, with all of our best bets, by the way. That was, I'm getting distracted by stuff. I apologize. It's like, what's the thing? What do we call it when you get distracted easily? I don't know. I can't remember. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSIN. Listen to this. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through August 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. Head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion, limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer, and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. So once again, every host, every guest, every pick in every sport, courtesy of G-Bank, recapped at the end of each and every show. Do you hear this little note from Peacock, the Peacock Network? Listen,
gosh, probably not. Listen, no, I haven't. I don't know if I want to hear
no,
it.
No, you don't want to hear this. Yeah, yeah. Here's a sick stat for you. Next year, Peacock will have over 7,500 hours of sports, which NBC Universal claims is more live sports content than Prime Video, Paramount Plus, Max, Apple TV, Netflix, and Hulu combined. Okay, they didn't go into the network, so that's not as bad as I thought. It's just that you don't have, you're going to have all these networks.
Yeah, it's fine, but like, I don't, like, geez, what I pay for this stuff is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, you don't notice that you're playing it.
Yeah, it's all.
That you're paying all this money, right?
Well, I'm not even mad about the streaming services anymore, but I'm like, I finally got to, I don't know, I've got to adjust something. There's way too much regular Cox cable that I'm getting that I don't, like, utilize at all. Because so much of the, you know, it's you watch it, you use it for sports. Mm-hmm. But then it's, okay, we've gotten to the point where most of the sports are on these streaming networks.
The issue is that you cannot toggle seamlessly.
Oh, it's awful.
You cannot toggle seamlessly. And that's a problem. It's a problem. But is there ever going to be a backlash when it comes to the NFL? No. We're all still going to watch it.
Read a great article like a year ago of just talking about like how what's happening with these streaming services right now. It's like this is like the whole, this is just, it's all cyclical, right? Like this was the exact same thing of how cable television started. It's just of trying to put stuff in a isolated place that's tougher to get to for people. And now you've got all of these different streaming services that, like you said, that you cannot navigate easily between.
Have you made a National Football League bet? Yes, Giants under season win total, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is it. Good,
yep.
Good memory.
Yeah, it's the only one. That's the only one I will have here momentarily, too. Because I called it when the schedule sequence came out, everyone was like, oh, Giants under. I'm like, I called that when the opponents were out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they get to 5.5.
Yeah, we talked about that early on. Yeah.
But that's the only one that I have even flirted with at this point.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else I'm...
No awards.
Close to.
No awards market, like, are you thinking about
no,
or anything?
No
like
comeback
that?
Player of the year, no, man. No,
don't
none
that.
Of that.
Don't
nope.
do that.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing I've bet in awards markets. I'm trying to say. I don't really know if I'm going to have anything going into the year. I mean, look, there's a lot of summer for us to talk ourselves into
yes.
something.
Yeah.
But, like, we've hit on all of these so far. Like, okay, MVP. It's Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow at the top.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I don't really know if I'm going to battle with anybody
Jaden Daniels?
Outside of that.
Jaden Daniels?
Oh. Jaden Daniels is plus 750.
Yeah.
I like
Jaden. That's a way worse bet than him winning Rookie of the Year was last year at the same price.
That's, yes. Same price, way worse bet.
Way worse bet.
Yeah. I love Jaden Daniels. I don't know that he should be priced with those guys, though. That's a little aggressive to me.
Did the lack of wins in the NBA awards market this year markets dissuade you from awards markets moving forward?
Good question. I think with some yes, with some no. I think it was with a lot of them. I had a pretty good read on them. It was just close, but no cigar on way too many, and it was just frustrating when you're coming up second, third into a lot of these awards.
Yeah.
The one where I probably am rethinking the way that I've been approaching it going forward was most improved player, because that's an award that I've had a lot of success with over the past few years, and kind of had a good read on what I thought voters were looking at. And it was mainly that Tyrese Maxey case of kind of that guy who's semi on that star level, who's going to take that next leap, step forward the following year, make an All-NBA team or something like that, or an All-Star team at least. And that kind of fell off with what we saw with Dyson Daniels this year. So I think I'll probably be taking a step back from that one, because that was one I would fire on as soon as that market opened. I mean, I had Cade Cunningham, Christian Brown, 25 to 1 as soon as that opened last summer, and liked them. We just didn't follow. Just didn't follow suit.
Last thing, because JVT is coming up with money moves here with Stormy out. The other part of that Nate Duncan thing about, hey, you can't allow these teams to foul when they're up three, which I disagree with entirely. The other thing that came up was, how about these Elam endings where you just set a target score, like you play three quarters and then you set a target score? Do you think that one day that will actually happen?
No.
Not 10 years from now, not 15
years
from now?
Not a real game. All-star games, when you're hooping at home, fine. It's great. No, not in the NBA.
There will be a legit league that will do this. I'm not sure it's the NBA.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, Money Moves, JBT, next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.